Hello and welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. I'm Paul Sollentrop with Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Our guest is Dr. Brianna Ward. Dr. Ward is the Athlete Mental Health Coordinator and Staff Psychologist at Wichita State, a position she has held since August 2020. Dr. Ward came to Wichita State after working most recently at Illinois State and the University of Iowa. She is a Nebraskan, grew up in McCook. She attended Nebraska for undergraduate and got advanced degrees at Emporia State and Iowa. Dr. Ward, describe your job duties at Wichita State. Let's start there.
Great question. So this is a brand new position here at Wichita State. It's a 50-50 split position. So I am 50% housed within the counseling and prevention services here. And the other 50% is working with athletes within the athletics department. I do a variety of things. So most of my time is spent doing individual counseling with athletes. I've also been trained in doing group therapy, whether that's general process group therapy or more sport-specific stuff such as injury groups. We do crisis walk-in appointments over at CAPS, so I have an hour each week where students can come in when they're in higher distress and can't get a sooner appointment. Further, in my role over in athletics, I do a lot of consulting, so I'll consult with coaches, staff, other administrators over there about concerns with athletes, if something's going on with some team dynamics or other things like policies, more administrative stuff, whatever the case may be.
Take us a little bit through your career path. How did you get into sports psychology?
Yeah, so I have always been very interested in sports psychology. When I started my graduate training at Emporia State University working on my master's degree, I did a couple of research projects, a little bit more geared towards sports, but I didn't really have the opportunity to work with student athletes there. However, when I got to Iowa, they had a practicum rotation there, and it was fully embedded over in athletics. So for the full year, for the full clinical rotation, I was able to work with student athletes. So over there, we did individual therapy. I was able to do more team-based stuff. So we did like team bonding activities, mental skill building strategies, strategy workshops. We were able to kind of do some more consulting work over there. So again, coaches, academic coordinators, other staff. We also did a lot of practice observations. And so we were able to go out there and build relationships with athletes that way, as well as, kind of talk to coaches about what was going on. Sometimes in the moment, they would ask for feedback about maybe coaching styles or things that were going on with athletes, how they could kind of best support their mental health at that point in time.
So the athletics part of it, what sparked you or what did you enjoy about that, that you continued on in that path?
Yeah. So I just realized I didn't fully answer the question. So I just loved the collaborative nature of the athletics department, kind of being able to consult, have so many people behind the student athlete well-being and supporting their mental health. And so after my rotation up at Iowa, I knew exactly that I wanted to be a sports psychologist, specifically at the Division I level. And so after that, all of my training, I had really, really focused on things that I would be working on with student athletes. So after my experience at Iowa, I gained some more experience, particularly with eating concerns, body image concerns, something a lot of athletes struggle with. I did a full, what we call an assessment rotation. So there I did more attention and learning evals, something that is done a lot within athletics departments. I work with a lot of athletes with those concerns and we try to get those full evals on record in order to make sure that we're compliant with NCAA guidelines. And then after that, my full internship experience, I ended up matching at Illinois State University, and I had ranked them fairly high in the process because they had an athletics rotation there. So I was doing much of the same responsibilities and tasks that I was doing at the University of Iowa.
We're not too far past the era when we would look at athletes and we would tell them to, tough it out, all those kind of things. When did that begin to change? When did athletic departments begin to see what you do, the mental health aspect, as really important to their mission?
Mm-hmm. That is a really great question. Sports psychology is a fairly new field, and more universities and institutions are getting coordinators and psychologists and other licensed mental health care professionals on staff to help them deal with these concerns. I would say that shift has really come about in the past 10 years or so. I think that, you know, students in this generation that's coming into college, there's definitely more awareness to mental health concerns than there has been previously. And there's a little bit more okay in talking about it. There's definitely still a stigma attached to mental health for sure. But I think that with this generation of opening up a little bit more and talking about some of their struggles a little bit more are normalizing that process for them and helping others come forward with some of those concerns. Particularly with athletes, I mean, you know, they're Division I athletes here, right? I mean, they have grit, they have resiliency, they have a lot of strengths that have helped them get to this point in their career and help them perform at a very high level. And some of those things have been to kind of push some of those emotions and those difficult situations down a little bit to kind of help them perform. Now it's kind of getting to that point where I can help them work through some of those different situations that they've been a part of, some of those difficult relationships, kind of people telling them to, you know, fight through it and push through it so that they can perform even better.
I know the American Athletic Conference has the Powerful Minds program or campaign that Wichita State has done a lot with. So how do you go about getting more athletes to be willing to talk? How do you go about removing that stigma?
Mm-hmm. Great question. In my role, visibility is really the most important. You know, with athletes, building relationships. They want to know the people that are supporting them and taking care of them. So here, this is a brand new position here. So something that I've set up so far is drop-in office hours. So in my office over in the athletics department, I have a couple of blocks, Tuesday afternoons, Thursday mornings. Athletes can swing by my office, kind of chat, get to know me. If they have kind of a stressor, we can kind of talk through that. A lot of times athletes just want to like say, hey, see that I'm someone that they can talk to about their stuff. And then we generally kind of set up an appointment. Oftentimes athletes come in, they kind of want to know what therapy is like. So I spend a lot of time educating people on what therapy is like and what the process of entering into treatment with me would be like and kind of what my style is as a therapist. I'm pretty easygoing. I'm pretty flexible. I know that therapy can be really hard for people to open up, especially to someone that they might not know. And just kind of building that relationship and increasing their comfort level to help them through whatever that they want to talk about. Something else I've been trying to do, hopping into different team practices, letting them know like what I can help them with, getting my face out there as much as possible with the pandemic. It's been hard. You know, different teams having to kind of pause practices, you know, mask life, that can be a little bit hard to, for people just to kind of get to know you and put a face to the name essentially. I've also been talking to just different coaches about the services I can offer, how I can help them, what I can do for their athletes and how I can help support their athletes too.
We outside people, we probably think mostly about mental health in relation to the problems, depression, whatever, but you also help with things like team building, goal setting. Tell us a little bit about how those aspects are part of your job and how they help students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that can look very different depending on the team. So typically what happens is at a team level, you know, I'll generally talk to coach or team captains or leaders of the team. However, that team has kind of appointed more of that lead on the leadership level of their team. And kind of talk to them about what they think their team needs, whether that's goal setting, a little bit more structure, you know, and team bonding activities. If there is a lot of seniors leaving, for example, or maybe a lot of athletes transferring on the other side, if a lot of freshmen are incoming or transfer athletes coming in, sometimes it's helpful to do some of those team bonding activities just so people can kind of get to know each other. And so the team can kind of mesh together a little bit better. If the leadership or coaches on the team are noticing that there's been, you know, maybe some like a lack of motivation, for example, or certain issues and maybe a particular mechanic of the sport. So I'm thinking, example, of softball, like swinging the bat, for example, or pitching in baseball, for example, if coaches are kind of noticing a lot of issues with maybe their pitchers on the team, bringing in me as a consultant to do some different mental skill strategy building things kind of surrounding that, whether that's visualization, kind of getting to really the heart of what's going on. If there is a lack of concentration, lack of focus, if there's been a decrease in confidence, or if there's been some other interpersonal stressors, you know, maybe a recent breakup or a recent loss of a family member, something like that, that's maybe impacting their sport performance outside of the field. And then really after I kind of have that full assessment of what's going on, I go into the team and we do some of those things. I typically make it as fun as possible. I don't want to do a lecture style per se. I want it to be as collaborative, as conversational as possible, because that's going to help some of those group and team dynamics foster.
So 2020, of course, has been quite the year. You plummeted in here right in the middle of it. We had COVID, we had social unrest, racial unrest, political unrest, all kinds of things going on. Is there an overall strategy to helping athletes, you know, work their way through all these difficulties, or is it more of a kind of case by case?
That is a really great question. 2020 was quite the year. Personally, I take a very individual approach to all of my cases. You know, I might have two athletes from the exact same team, for example, come in and they're both suffering from anxiety, for example, very similar symptoms, you know, racing heart, shakiness, difficulty breathing. And I might treat those presented concerns very, very differently, despite the similar presentation. And that really depends on the person. We're all unique. We're all unique individuals, and we have different experiences, different backgrounds, different cultural considerations to bring into treatment. And I want to respect all of those things. And I want to make sure that we're treating the concern as well as we can. However, despite treating everything very at an individual level, I will say that something I've really been doing a lot of in my work is really highlighting strengths. I mean, the pandemic is happening to all of us, right? Including myself as a mental health practitioner. And I've been, as much as I can, talking about people's strengths, talking about their resiliency, talking about their grit, especially with student athletes. You know, they have so many strengths. They practice and they get ready and they prepare for matches and games every single day, and they don't know what's going to be happening at those. So it's kind of like they're always constantly preparing for the unknown. And that's what I've been telling them. I'm like, you all have a very unique skill set, some unique strengths. You're constantly preparing for the unknown. And right now we have a very long unknown. So just kind of continuing to rely on your strengths as much as possible to kind of get through this very difficult time and within the pandemic.
So take us back to Dr. Ward in August of 2019. I was going to ask how your job has changed. I guess it's probably changed a lot, but how has it changed, and what prepared you to deal with, you know, those changes?
Another great question. I feel like, you know, I tell people all the time that I never expected to start my Division I psychologist job in a pandemic. You know, in 2019, when I started my internship at Illinois State, you know, I was able to go out and meet people, go to practices, go to games, go to matches. You know, athletes knew exactly who I was. You know, they would kind of come over and chat with me. Coaches knew who I was immediately. And that's definitely been a challenge, starting this position, especially this 50-50 split position, having to get to know a couple of different groups of people. But I will say, you know, kind of falling back on the on the skills and the foundations of psychology, relationship building. I know a lot of my athletes are like, I don't know about Zoom for telehealth. And I'm like, let's just try it one time. You know, it's let's just try it. We can reassess. We'll see how it goes. As of right now, we're predominantly doing telehealth because of the pandemic. And generally afterwards, you know, they're like, oh, it wasn't quite as awkward as I thought it would be, especially, you know, since we can kind of see you talking and having emotions, whereas when you're wearing a mask, for example, it's a little bit harder to kind of see smiles and different emotions playing out on your face, for example. So I really fall back on that relationship building, that validation, showing empathy, listening, truly understanding and hearing what the athletes are going through is something I think that has helped make me successful in this position so far.
So in keeping with your theme of highlighting strengths, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions about what we've learned through all this and in hopes that it will spin us forward in a good way. What have we learned about what's important for students to be successful?
Successful in sport, school, what?
Whatever comes to the top of your mind or whatever you think is most interesting.
I think in general, making sure that we're always supporting mental health is a definite part of making sure students are successful. You know, making sure that they're supported, that they're heard, you know, within the pandemic, making sure that kind of some basic needs are being met, making sure that people can have that social connection, different things like that, and getting that physical activity in, for example, making sure that those needs are met are going to make sure that they're successful.
How about the importance of, and we're in an academic setting, so I guess this will kind of mostly be about academics, but also out to the real, you know, the big wide world of work. What have we learned about the importance of, you know, in-class instruction, face-to-face collaboration that you talked about? Because I feel like maybe back in March, we thought we could get away with Zoom and hybrid learning and that kind of stuff for a while. And now we seem to be much more, boy, we really need to get back to seeing each other's faces on a regular basis. Have we learned anything about that that can be instructive?
You know, I will say, you know, back in March, almost a year ago now, when we moved everything virtually, I think that everyone thought it was going to be a little bit more temporary than it has been. I think that they were hoping it was going to kind of be through the rest of that spring semester and things would be able to be back in person or face-to-face. Obviously, that has not been the case. I think what we've learned is there something about that face-to-face interaction that really helps students learn and be successful. However, saying that, there are some really great pros to virtual learning. We are able to meet more students that might not be able to get that education or get those classes. If they had to be on campus full-time, for example, they might have external circumstances where they're not able to be a full-time student here at Wichita State. They might have to be at home caring for family members, for example, or they might have to work and they aren't able to find a job here in Wichita. There's also, you know, some really great financial savings going on if people are able to continue their education while at home versus paying rent or possibly living on campus, for example. I will say the majority of students I've met with, they definitely prefer the face-to-face interaction. I also think that it helps hold people accountable a little bit more. Having structure to their day helps people be successful. That's something that I've been talking so much about since the pandemic has started. How you can add structure into your day is going to help you be more successful. It's really easy to roll out of bed 1 minute before class, right? Versus, you know, maybe having to head to campus to go to class. It's just that little extra accountability that helps people, that just increases people's well-being in general.
Have you learned interesting things about your profession, you know, over the past year that might help, that might be worth keeping as part of the toolbox because of what everybody's been through?
I would definitely keep telehealth in our toolbox for sure. You know, it's very similar to what I was saying with some of the academic stuff. I think that we're able to reach students that we wouldn't have been able to meet before. It's easy to hop on a video call with your therapist, especially if you're maybe more of a commuter student or maybe a part-time student. You're still able to seek out those mental health services, even if you can't come to our office here at CAPS on campus. And I think that that's something that we're definitely going to be keeping here at CAPS. I think that we're just able to meet more students. And our goal here is really to help support mental health. We don't want barriers in the way. We don't want, you know, traveling, commute time, whatever the case may be, stop people from being able to seek out mental health services.
Have you come to any conclusions about, is there a type of student who has persevered and has done better under these circumstances? And is there anything that we can learn from that?
Within the pandemic?
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of ebb and flow with mental health in the pandemic. There might be some points in the pandemic where people might feel that their mental health is a little bit higher than it was. And then there might be some points where it's just a lot more difficult for people. And I think that when people allow themselves that grace and that compassion to kind of recognize it's okay to have these ups and downs, it's normal. We are fighting a pandemic. We have so many factors going on outside of the pandemic. And just allowing yourself that grace, that compassion, realizing that you're doing the best you can, kind of putting one foot in front of the other and doing what you can.
There are sports that are very team-oriented, like, you know, basketball or volleyball. Then there are sports that have more of an individual slant. You might be a sprinter. Who largely works on their own or in a really small group. Have those types of athletes, have they reacted differently?
I think that the athletes that are a little bit more used to, if you will, to kind of that team-based approach, I think that especially when we were kind of sent home back in March, and they just weren't really sure of what was going to be happening, that social disconnect was a little bit harder for them. However, you know, the athletes that have more individual, you know, events, if you will, part, like perhaps in track, even if their events are more individual, there's still very much that team dynamic going on there. They have their, you know, smaller event groups and things like that. And I think that if people were able to connect in some way during that time, it was really helpful connecting with teammates, connecting with coaches, to just kind of realize that those relationships were still there, especially when we didn't know how long this was going to be going on. As athletes now have had to quarantine or, you know, kind of isolate themselves waiting for test results, or if they were exposed, whatever the case may be, I've actually really encouraged coaches to check in on their athletes that have had to do that, because it's that social isolation can be really hard when you're so used to those team times you have together, whether that's at practice, whether that's at meetings, whether that's at weights, whatever the case may be.
You use the word grace, which I think has become a big word over the last, we're almost at a year now. How do you help people reach that, I guess, sense of empathy, of patience, of grace?
Mm-hmm. I work with people on really kind of challenging their own thoughts. And so in my 45, 50-minute sessions with people, I generally talk a lot about, kind of what's going on there, looking at their thoughts or the situation from another perspective. I always call it my outsider's perspective with people, and help kind of guide them to that point where they're able to realize, okay, I might be being a little bit hard on myself, or okay, that's right, there are some different angles and possibilities to what's going on here, and really and I call it increasing their mental flexibility and just kind of showing, just increasing their flexibility within themselves, realizing that they are doing a lot more than they were possibly realizing or giving themselves credit for. I also, one of my favorite strategies is to always ask people, what if your best friend came to you with this problem? Typically, people are always much kinder to their friend than they're willing to be for themselves, to themselves. And that's something that we talk about in session two. You know, what makes you be kinder or more compassionate or show more grace to your friend than to yourself?
That's a good one. How would you describe the link between an athlete, you know, having good mental health, working through some of these things, and their performance on the track or the field or the court? What's the, what, how does that help them to maybe have a, I guess, a clearer mind or feel better about things off the court?
Absolutely. Performance and mental health are obviously correlated. If, you know, when you think about all of the other factors, things that people are involved in outside of sport, you know, we have friends, we have romantic partners, we have families, we have school, we have maybe other clubs and organizations on campus, possibly a job, whatever the case may be, right? There's a whole bunch of other stuff going on for people outside of sport. And if one of those areas isn't quite right, say a recent breakup, for example, a recent romantic breakup, they're going to carry that with them into sport, into practice, into games, into meets. And so working with me can help kind of process that, work through that, figure out what's going on for them, coming up with strategies that can help them perform better, can help them be a better athlete, perform to their optimum level, and help them be a better leader within the team.
Okay, that was a lot of serious stuff. Let's lighten it up a little bit here while we wrap it up. You are a lifelong Nebraskan, therefore you are contractually obligated to be a Nebraska football fan. Favorite Husker football player?
Well, I'm going to have to go with our current coach, Scott Frost.
Okay. What did you enjoy about his contributions to the Huskers as a quarterback?
I think that despite the fact that he didn't pick Nebraska right away, I think that it shows a lot that he came back, and I think that it really unites Nebraska. Nebraska is very family-oriented. We care a lot about the people in the state. Oftentimes, if I'm out of state and people are like, oh, I know this one person from Nebraska, they just kind of assume that you know every single person in the state of Nebraska. So I think that really united the state, and especially now that he's back being head coach, despite the fact that we're off to a slow start under his coaching, I think that we're going to get there.
I'm sure he'll turn it around. What did you read or watch during the stay-at-home portion of your pandemic that you would recommend?
So obviously I love all things mental health. I've been listening to the United podcast. It's actually geared towards student athletes, and a couple of sports psychologists run it. So I highly recommend it. Super easy. It's 20-30 minutes to listen to. And there's different topics and strategies every single week.
Give us the name of that again.
United.
United. Okay. Okay. We will welcome you to Wichita. What's your favorite Wichita restaurant?
Okay, that is an unfair question because of the pandemic.
Okay.
But I will say I have checked out Norton's a couple of times.
Okay. They do have to go here.
Yes.
You can get a little taste of things. But it is a little bit unfair, but I thought I'd give you a chance. Norton's is very nice. They have good food.
What do you recommend, Paul?
We're kind of downtown oriented now. Mm-hmm. Love the Anchor.
Mm-hmm.
I live in College Hill, so I got to give a shout out to Ziggy's. Big Wichita State fans run Ziggy's. There are several locations, but the original is in College Hill. Nola's Pizza is kind of old school. District Taqueria is also downtown.
Okay.
Look at the Brickyard. Third Place Brewery is right around the corner from Norton's. So you can hit that too if you like craft beer. So I've got lots of recommendations.
Perfect.
You should have me on your podcast. We could talk about restaurants here in Wichita.
Okay. I do need all of those recommendations.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.